Hello, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, as we all know, things in our world today are far from business as usual. The COVID-19 pandemic, protests in the streets, and cries of racial injustice have taken center stage. And that's why Pastor Rick has decided to set aside our regular programming in order to share his heart regarding these extremely critical issues. He'll be taking us through the small but mighty book of James in a series called A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't. In this teaching, Rick gives you the principles you need to live through a pandemic. Please be sure to invite a friend or loved one to listen along with you today as we continue with our series. In a year that's caused millions worldwide to experience fear and anxiety at a heightened level, it's never been more important to get God's life-changing word out to as many people as possible. This month, we're excited to announce a $50,000 matching grant that will allow us to do just that. If you'd like to help this ministry as we reach out to the world with the hope found in Jesus Christ, just go to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message, or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to find out more. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called A Real Faith versus Fake Faith.
Now, here's the question, and I want you to really think about this. We're not persecuted right now in America for our faith. We're harassed, but not persecuted. But if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Would there be enough evidence to convict you? Could people say, well, I see the changes in their life? Real faith always produces a changed life. It's more than the words I say. It's more than an emotion I feel. Oh, I got a wonderful emotion in that service. It's more than an idea that I debate. Number four. Here's a fourth thing that it's not. Real faith is more than just a truth I believe. Oh, yeah. Real faith is more than a truth you believe. Now, James, again, uses a little bit of sarcasm. I think that's why I like this guy. He uses sarcasm to make his point. And in James 2, verses 19 and 20, he says this. Now you say, well, I believe there is a God. And I say, good for you. But even the demons believe that. And they're afraid. They tremble. They shudder. He said, it's foolish not to realize that faith in God is useless if you don't do anything and don't do what he wants you to do. In other words, the guy comes and says, he thinks he's going to make brownie points by saying, by boasting, well, I believe in God. Big deal. The devil believes in God. Do you know that? The devil's not an atheist. He's smarter than that. Even the devil believes in God, but you're not going to find him in heaven. And demons believe in God. You're not going to find him in heaven. Why? Because it's one thing to have head knowledge about God, believe in God. It's another thing to obey God, to love God, to trust God, to serve God. Maybe you didn't realize this. The devil's not an atheist. He's no fool. Let me be clear. Saying, I believe in God, will not get you into heaven. Because even the devil says that. Of course he believes in God. He believes in Jesus. He knows Jesus is the Son of God. That's why he wanted to kill him. So what? It's not just something you believe and you have an intellectual knowledge of. So what is real faith? If it's not what I say, it's not what I feel, it's not what I believe, it's not all of these things that I want to argue about and I want to debate. James says, faith is something I do. Faith is something I do. Faith is active. It's not passive. Faith is a commitment. Faith is a choice. Faith is an action. Faith is something I do. James chapter 2, verse 26. He says, just as a body without a spirit doesn't breathe and is dead, so faith that doesn't do anything is just as dead. Have you noticed the word that James uses over and over in this section? There's a word, he used it in every single verse I read you. It's the word do. Let me read him a few of you again. He says, if you do nothing, what good does your sympathy do? He says, what if you fail to do any real deeds? He says, I'll show you my faith by what I do. He says, faith in God is useless if you don't do what he wants you to do. And he says, faith that doesn't do anything is dead, and on and on and on. This is the point. He says it over and over and over. He's saying, get the message here. Faith shows up in my life, in my lifestyle. And if there's no change in my life, I don't have real faith. I got fake faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14 says this, and this is a good verse to remember in the pandemic. Stand firm in your faith. Stay brave, be strong, and do everything in love. I can't think of a better sentence for you to remember. Stand firm, be strong, do everything in love. Stand firm in faith. That's what we should be doing during this pandemic. It's a great verse to remember. So let me just ask you, what are you doing these days to stand firm in your faith? What are you doing to take a stand for Jesus Christ? What are you doing to demonstrate your faith? Anything? Are you doing anything to demonstrate your faith in the middle of this pandemic? Now, James ends his little speech or essay on the difference between real faith and fake faith by giving us two actual examples of living by faith. And these two people were real people, but they were very, very different people. They were named Abraham and Rahab. These are the two people James chooses out of the Old Testament to demonstrate what real faith is, Abraham and Rahab. By the way, neither of them were Jews, which means they weren't a part of God's chosen people. Why? There weren't any Jews yet. There weren't any Jews until Abraham actually had faith. Abraham was born where modern Iraq is today. He wasn't born in Israel. He was born in modern day Iraq, in that empire, the Babylonian era. Now, Abraham had faith and Rahab had faith. Abraham was a man. Rahab was a woman. Abraham was a rich businessman. Rahab was a poor prostitute. She's a streetwalker in the city of Jericho. Their lives were many years apart. Abraham's story is in the book of Genesis. And one day God comes to Abraham, who is not a God-fearing man. He's an idol worshiper in Ur of the Chaldees. And God comes and says, Abraham, I want you to leave your country, and I'm going to ask you to follow me to a new location, and I want you to move all your family and your flocks and your herds, and if you'll trust me on this, I'm going to make a great nation out of you if you'll demonstrate real faith in me. And he did. And Abraham became the father of faith and became the father of the Jewish nation. Now, I want you to write this down. Abraham followed God without knowing where he was going. That's faith. Abraham followed God without knowing where he's going. He didn't say, God, show me where we're going first. No, he said, God told him, just head out that direction. How will I know when I get there? I'll tell you when. He's going to a place he's never seen, never been, trusting a God he didn't know before this, but he acted on his faith. He held nothing back from God. He trusted that God would provide. And later he was tested again when God asked him to sacrifice his son. It was a test. And Abraham knew, God, if I sacrifice him, God could raise him back to life. I'm going to trust him. His whole life was trusting God, going ahead, stepping out in faith, taking a risk there without knowing where he was going. Now, James concludes his example of Abraham in verse 22. He says, isn't it obvious, talking about Abraham, that faith and works are yoked partners, that faith expresses itself through works, that the works are, quote, works of faith. I love that in the message. Works are the works of faith. And in verse 23, he says about James, God accepted Abraham's faith. because he acted on it. And that faith made him right with God. So Abraham was called the friend of God. I can't think of a better thing to be called. At the end of my life, I would like to be called the friend of God. At the end of your life, I would like for you to be called the friend of God. You know, there are some friends that don't matter, but if you're God's friend, that's going to matter for eternity. I would like for you to become a friend of God today. If you're not sure that you're a friend of God, I'm going to help you step across the line in just a minute. So hang on, but I know you can begin that relationship with God today. God wants to be your friend, but you've got to step across the line in faith, just like Abraham did. Then James gives us the other story of Rahab. Now, that story is in actually Joshua chapter 2. It's actually a spy story. Moses had led the children of Israel, the Israelis, out of Egypt after 400 years of bondage. And they're getting ready to go into this new territory that God says, I'm going to give you. This is the promised land. And Jericho is a giant, overwhelmed, highly fortified city. And in that city, that was so scared of the Jews that were coming in and they were going to fight them, there was a woman named Rahab. She was a prostitute. She was a streetwalker. And you know what she did? She risked her life to save the spies that Joshua had sent into Jericho. And because she risked her life in order to save God's people, God put her in the genealogy of Jesus. Do you know that in Matthew, in the New Testament, it lists all the people who were, you know, it says the father begat this father and he had this father. He had four women are mentioned. One of them is Rahab. She wasn't even Jewish and she was a prostitute, but her faith was more important than her background. And God said, that's good enough. And she became one in the lineage of the Messiah. I don't care what your background is. God can use your life for good if you'll be like Rahab. And if you'll step out in faith, write this down. Rahab risked her life to save others. Rahab risked her life to save others. What's she doing? She's showing faith in action. That's faith. Our faith is demonstrated by what we do. I'll never forget an old story that I heard as a young man about the famous tightrope walker, George Blondin. Way, way back, I think it was in the 1920s that Blondin did this. Blondin was world famous for walking on tightropes in very famous places. And one day he decided and he announced that he was going to walk across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. And thousands of people showed up on both sides, the Canadian side, the American side, to watch this world-famous tightrope walker walk across Niagara Falls. So he gets up to the edge, and he walks across, slowly across Niagara Falls. And when he makes it to the other side, the crowd went crazy. And they're jumping up, down, and they're shouting and hooping and hollering. And Blondin just raised his hand and said, wait a minute, I'm going to do it again. And he turned around and he walks all the way back. When he gets back on the other side, the crowd goes crazy again. They're going, this is great. This is the greatest act we've ever seen. He raised his hand and said, wait a minute. I'm going to do it again. And he said, but this time I'm going to push a wheelbarrow across. So he gets a wheelbarrow and he starts pushing it across Niagara Falls on this true story on the, this, you know, tightrope. He gets out in the middle. He shakes it a little bit and everybody goes, whoa, but he's in control. He gets it over to the other side. And when he lands it on the other side, the people go crazy. And a man walks up to Blondin and he goes, Mr. Blondin, that's the greatest performance I've ever seen. I believe you could do it 100 times. I believe you could do it the rest of your life. I don't think you'd ever fail. I believe in you. And Blondin looked at him and said, so you really believe in me, huh? Yeah. Go, oh, man, I've got faith in you. I know you could do it. I think you could do it 100 times. Blondin just turned around, dumped out the wheelbarrow and said, okay, buddy, get in the wheelbarrow. That's the test of faith. That's the test of faith. Will you get in the wheelbarrow? It's one thing to say it. It's one thing to feel it. It's one thing to debate it. None of those things are real faith. It's one of the things that claim you believe it, but will you get in the wheelbarrow? Our behavior shows what we really believe. Now, I want you to take this message, and I want you to think about what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are really in the faith. Test yourselves. Maybe you've been a fake Christian. Maybe you've been a fake faith person. You've had a phony faith. You've talked the talk, but you haven't got in the wheelbarrow. There's nothing in your life that shows you're really a Christian. You're just like everybody else who's a non-believer. Have you stepped across the line? If so, it ought to show up in your life, and it ought to show up during this pandemic. Now, let me make it really clear. Works don't save you. They can't save you. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't earn your way to heaven. They are not the root of your salvation. They are the fruit. They show you are a Christian. They don't make you a Christian. They show it. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9 says this. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. By grace through faith. For a life of good works, which God has already prepared for us to do. Now, notice there are three prepositions in that sentence. It says we're saved by grace, we're saved through faith, we're saved for a life of good works. You got all three parts in your life? If you're saved by grace and you're saved through faith, it's going to show up in your life. You can't have God come into your life and it not change you. Now, the order is important. By grace, through faith, for a lifetime of good works. And God has planned your life to make a difference. Now, I want to close with just a couple questions in light of what James has just said. Here's the question. First question. You need to ask yourself, am I really a Christian after all? Have I really put my faith in Christ? How do you know? How do you know that? I just said a few words. Did it change your life? What changes can you point to in your life? What changes can I point to in my life? Is my lifestyle any different from unbelievers? And if you have not ever done this, I want to lead you in a prayer right now. Okay, would you bow your heads with me? And this is a prayer of real faith, not fake faith. Say this, say, God, I don't want to have a fake faith. I want to really trust you. I want you to change my life for good. I don't want to just talk the talk and not walk the walk. I want my life to be better. I want my life to be different. I want my life to be what you made it to be. I want to know your purpose for my life. And I'm asking you to change me. I'm giving you permission to change me. And I want to learn to trust you and follow you like Abraham and like Rahab. Jesus Christ, I give you my life completely to you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Rick. If you just prayed to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, congratulations. You're now my brother or sister in the Lord. And you need to tell somebody. And why don't you tell me? Write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. Just email me, rick@pastorrick.com, and tell me your story. I would love to read it. And by the way, I'll send you some free material to help you start in your new journey with the Lord. God bless you.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time together. If you missed any part of today's message, just go to PastorRick.com to listen again. And be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional while you're there. At a time when the coronavirus has millions of people worldwide isolated and dealing with emotions like fear and anxiety at a heightened level, it's clear that access to the hope of God and His Word is of paramount importance. At Daily Hope, we know how vital it is that as many people as possible find that hope as easily as possible. This month, we're excited to announce a $50,000 matching grant that will help us continue reaching out with the love of God during this unprecedented time in history. You can help ensure that God's Word continues to be delivered to more and more people around the world with a financial gift to Daily Hope. Here's Rick to tell you more.
You know, I just want to take a quick second to say thank you, everybody. Because of your generosity, we're able to take the hope of Jesus Christ into places where there are no Bibles, no believers, and no body of Christ, no churches at all. Now, as you pray about giving, I want to ask you to ask God about sending a gift that's the largest you're able to give, because at this point of the year, we have a donor who has offered to match your gift. That means what you give will be doubled. We get twice the bang for the buck, in other words. So please respond quickly and give in such a way that we can maximize it through this matching gift. And I want to ask you this. Would you pray for us at Daily Hope? Pray as we reach out to people around the globe with hope that people will find Christ by the thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands. So thank you for being a partner with me to getting the message out.
Today, when you give, we'll say thanks for your support by sending you a copy of Pastor Rick's book called Open Doors, A Year of Daily Devotions. It's a beautifully illustrated 365-day devotional from Pastor Rick that offers daily encouragement from the Bible. Go to PastorRick.com today to have your financial gift matched up to $50,000 and to receive your copy of Open Doors, A Year of Daily Devotions. You can also text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to give. We'll lose any part of the grant we do not match by the end of this month, so please contact us right away. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.